For many people, I confess, like me, Allison Miner was a name attached to the stage inside the grandstand where musicians talk more than play. But then I started meeting people like Grant Morris, who became close with Allison when she managed Professor Longhair for most of the 80s. Grant calls Allison
one of the most important people in music history and the history of people who aren't musicians.
The first time Grant interviewed a musician on the stage Allison invented, Music and Heritage, he introduced himself as the interviewer. Allison was furious.
I got off the stage and she looked at me, and I'll tell you something, if you're on the wrong side of Allison, you knew all about it. She looked at me and said, "Don't you ever do that again. Don't you ever get up there and introduce yourself."
For Allison, it was the musicians who should be at the forefront, always. And this stage was the place to hear their stories, which she thought were just as essential as hearing them perform. Allison managed the Wild Magnolias, Rebirth Brass Band, Steve Mazakowski, and most infamously, Professor Longhair. She was part nurturing mother, part hard-nosed businesswoman, and there was no line between the musician and herself. They were like family. Mary Lynn Costa, one of Allison's dearest friends, says food was a big part of her relationships. She collected musicians' recipes in a file cabinet and notebooks and hosted them around her large rectangular wooden table with the leaves extended to fit whoever was there.
She felt that around the table and that communion is what needed to be shared, because that's where you really learned who a person was. You know, sitting, actually sharing their food with them, learning about their hardships of the day, understanding who their family was, what really made them sing.
Have you something within you, oh Lord, that's holding the reins? Something within you, oh child, you know you can't.
Allison herself was a startling, beautiful singer. Growing up in Daytona, Florida, she sang backup for her friends Dwayne and Greg Allman, who went on to become the Allman Brothers. She moved here when she was 17, after hearing Danny Barker on TV say New Orleans was a city that cries when you're born and celebrates when you die.
You know I met God one morning, oh Lord.
New Orleans was Allison's great love. She did move away twice, for Andy Caslow, her husband, who for several years was Professor Longhair's bandleader.
You know, I told Allison I needed to leave New Orleans, and she was, of course, heartsick about that. And she did not want to leave. She loved New Orleans. She loved it maybe even more than she loved me.
Allison couldn't stay away from New Orleans for long. And when she returned, she took up her mantle as a crusader for musicians, seeing they were paid fairly, treated well, and received their publishing royalties. She wouldn't let anyone exploit them. Mary Lynn Costa.
What'd you say, dogmatic is the nicest way to put it? Oh no, she was not going to let go of whatever had to be done.
She'd get up in your face and let you know what she thought.
Festival co-founder Quint Davis.
And shake her fist and just whatever. I mean, she wasn't one to mince words. She wasn't one to back down. She didn't suffer fools, and she didn't suffer foolishness. That's just how she was. Maybe because, you know, she didn't have time, as it turned out, to be superfluous about anything.
Allison Miner died at age 46 of bone marrow cancer. By that time, she'd started the Jazz and Heritage Archive, helped launch WWOZ, and ensured that the Jazz Festival would be a non-profit and part of a foundation. After she died, the Music and Heritage stage was named in her honor. It's still the only Jazz Festival stage named for someone.
Now when you go to Jazz Fest, you see the stage is called the Allison Miner Music Heritage Stage, and hanging at the back of the stage is a giant full-length portrait of Allison with a microphone in her hand. She would have absolutely been horrified to see that. She would have been mortified.
Maybe Grant Morris is right. Maybe Allison wouldn't have wanted her name to represent the stage whose entire purpose was to showcase musicians. But the people who knew her know it's perfect. Allison believed that the soul of the music was the soul of the musician. Hers is a spirit well worth remembering by name. For WWNO, I'm Eve Abrams.